Our Father, we come before you again in reverence and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. We thank you that we can say that this was Emmanuel, God with us, our beloved Savior. And we just ask that you would be with us as we open up thy word and attempt to speak a little bit today about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you again for the privilege. We pray for those that are listening. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you remember, or I'm sure if you were with us, you recall the subject. Yesterday, we began looking at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The impeccable Christ is what we are calling this little series. The impeccable Christ, the faultless one, the spotless one, the one who, as we may review, the scripture tells us that he knew no sin, he committed no sin, and in him was no sin. We brought up the question yesterday from a couple of verses in Hebrews that ones have questioned and say, well, although Christ did not sin, some would ask and say, well, could he have? Just so he would really be a faithful and merciful high priest now, that he could really say he had compassion for where we are? Was he like Adam, some would question, and we would say it, that he was not exactly like Adam, of course, because he was the God-man. But some would say, was he like Adam, that he came into this earth without sin, and then he ended up with a capacity to? It's just that Adam ended up sinning and Christ did it. Now, some would suggest this. I would say that no, Christ, based on the Word of God, came to this earth, did not sin, could not sin, he being impeccable, spotless, no taint of sin in him. Now, one of the reasons among a list that I have here that I've jotted down of why we say that as we study the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and again, without a right understanding on the person of Christ, we will not truly have a clear understanding of the work of Christ. It's been said before that ones that, and this is speaking of unbelievers, and I trust that true believers would not fall into this. It's a very questionable thing for someone to be a Christian. It's very serious to hold on to things that some of the false cults believe. But among your cults, they generally take away from the person of Christ and add to the work of Christ. Note that. False teachers among Christendom would add to the work of Christ, such as saying, oh, you must believe in Christ, plus do this, do this, do this. In other words, get into a works-oriented salvation, trying to earn your salvation instead of works coming as a result of God saving you. That's adding to the work of Christ. But in concern, connection with the person of Christ, these false teachers would take away from the blessed person of Christ. They would say that he was not fully God, or some would even say he was not God, and yet this is blaspheme to the person of God, to take away from who he was as he walked this earth and who he is today. So we do not take away from the person of Christ. Now, in saying that, let's look at what the scripture would show us for someone to consider. And again, there might be a legitimate Christian listening today who is just questioning these things in their mind, just for perhaps trying to work out a difficult question in their mind. And perhaps you're a young Christian or just a very student-oriented question type Christian that just asks a lot of questions, and perhaps you've allowed this to come in your mind to say, well, could he have sinned, but maybe he just didn't? My friend, let's look at why our Savior did not sin, nor could not have even sinned. First, to say that Christ could have sinned would question the very deity of Christ. Now, the book of John that we have been studying is so abundantly clear on this subject, but just for some references, let's look over at John chapter 10 and see over there in chapter 10 and verse 29, my Father which gave them me, Christ is speaking of the believers here, his sheep, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now this is the claim of Christ. As he spoke of his Father, he said, I and my Father are one. Now isn't it interesting? Sometimes people always assume inferiority whenever speaking of Father. Now this is taking away from the person of Christ. Why? Think of David in the Old Testament. How many people know his father's name? Well, it was Jesse. What about Abraham? What about Moses? What about John the Baptist? Well, his name was Zacharias. You know, the scripture doesn't even tell us the name of Paul's father. But my point is this, that these godly men, who is the son of people we generally do not hear much about, would we say that Paul or Moses or Abraham or David, would these men be inferior to their fathers? No. So as we think of the Blessed Trinity, the one Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, there is an order there. God is not the author of confusion, but the God of order. But yet there's not inferiority in the one true Godhead. We see that the beloved Son of God is not inferior to the Father. So as we see here is his claim in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Christ is claiming equality with the Father. So it's wrong to assume anything less. But notice the Jewish people there, that the leaders and such, the spiritual, or I should say religious leaders, those that were around him that rejected his claim, said in verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blaspheme, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So we see here that Christ made himself very clear when he said, I and my Father are one, for the Jews that did not want to accept who he was took up stones to stone him. Now again, I ask you, if it was me and I was speaking to a crowd and they say they misunderstood me and thought I claimed to be God and they were about to stone me, do you think I would have held my peace? I would have spoken up rather quickly. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not try to correct anything, so they had clearly understood him. You as a man, make yourself God. Well, that was exactly what he was trying to tell them. So we see here his claim to deity. Now, to say that Christ could have sinned would be questioning his deity. This is the God-man. He wasn't 50% man and 50% God. He wasn't a split personality. This blessed Savior, the one that John chapter 1 tells us is the Word of God, was made flesh, became flesh. He was manifested in the flesh. And the scripture tells us there also the Word was God. So we see the title given to him as the Word of God. He was 100% God and 100% man. He was the example of a perfect man, but yet he was completely God. This boggles our mind, but yet the scripture declares it, that for him to die upon the cross of Calvary and pay for our sins, God had to become man. The Son of God walked this earth as he, in his incarnation, came to this earth to die. He was born to die. 100% the God-man. So to say he could have sinned would question his deity, because God cannot sin. Now secondly, to say that Christ could have sinned would also question the sovereignty of God. Does it not say in Revelation 13:8, it speaks of Christ as the Lamb that was slain, the foundation of the world. So we see here that the purpose of God in the death of this Lamb of God, the Son of God, was already set in stone before it actually came to pass. He was in the purposes of God. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So we see that if we would consider and say, could Christ have sinned? Well, then what about the sovereignty of God? Does God not know all things, beginning from end, end from beginning? Could anyone, our blessed Savior in particular, could he have the possibility of sin if it had already been said in the counsels of God that he was to be upon the cross of Calvary? Remember, this is the God that is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. The Scripture declares that he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So we say Christ could not sin. Now, thirdly, to say that Christ could have sinned would be questioning the oath of God or the word of God. Does it not tell us in Titus chapter 1, in verse 2, in connection with eternal life, it says, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Again, it speaks of God, and he made a promise. A promise. So, for us to say, for anyone to suggest that Christ could have sinned, what is this doing? This is suggesting that the God who cannot lie, well, let's say he couldn't lie, but yet he had the possibility of sinning in other ways. Now this, again, is very serious. The Scripture declares that he could not lie. Therefore, we know he could not sin, period. Again, when we think of how his oath or his word was at stake here, what about the multitude of Old Testament prophecies that have been set in stone? They were recorded. And before the New Testament was recorded, the religious people of that day and anyone that reverenced God had access to these Old Testament scriptures that prophesied of the coming Messiah. So if he could have sinned, then it would have been a question mark upon the entire Old Testament prophecy. For we, again, say, this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, was impeccable. He could not sin. Now, let's just look to close for our message today. And again, we'll look at a few more scriptural points of why our blessed Savior was the one who could not sin, did not sin, knew no sin, as we consider this one that is our blessed Lord and Savior. Thank you again. Join us tomorrow, the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.